Well, a very good evening to you, and thank you for tuning into Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry on this glorious Monday evening. Dawn Barry with you until 8 p.m. this evening on a show that features hurling, ladies football, pony and horse racing, and a return, of course, of our women's sports series, which will feature Sarah Leahy this evening. Now, only two county teams in action at the weekend. Our Kerry ladies, unfortunately, went down to Cork, but a great result for our Camogie team, a draw with Westmeath, that keeps them in the championship as well. And Dan Kearney will join us later chat, I suppose, about that loss in Mallow. But tonight's focus is on the Garvey Super Value Hurling Championship and the draw in particular, which will take place just at 6:30 around the corner here on Rock Street, and sure into the weather for hurling anyway. And did you get a glimpse of the Joe McDonagh Cup final there on Saturday? It was Carlow, as predicted by James McCarthy, Kilmoyle man, who said 2 months ago Carlow win that thing. And they did. Fair play to you, James. Good stuff. Now, give us a shout on 066 712 3666, or text us on WhatsApp. And I'm delighted here to be joined this evening, of course, by last year's champions. It's amazing how the year swings around. Brendan Barrett, Liam Goggin and Stephen Goggin join us for a little chat, I suppose, on the run up to the draw at 6:30. And I suppose a look back on the great year they had, indeed. A great couple of years they've had as well in Causeway. Stephen Goggin, we were chatting outside the door, and of course, we were talking about Causeway, and I suppose you've become one of the prominent leaders of the pack at the moment. You are the champions, but you've had 2 wins in 4 years and been competitive all of them. Slipped at the weekend to Abbey Dorn. We won't mention that too often. Is that just done to push your odds out a small bit? But come here, the whole journey over those 3 or 4 years has been fantastic for the club.
Yeah, it has been. It has been really good now, in fairness. You know, you'd even see there with underage, like our underage is starting to get strong again, you know, and that's all comes down from the seniors being successful, you know, going to watch matches and wanting to play the game. So, I know we're really happy with the last few years with the club, you know, in fairness. Everything is in a high down there, so there is.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Liam, it means so much to a parish. I mean, I know when you go up to North Kerry, you have to step on some side of the bounds or some side of the field, and you've all got your colours. And I suppose people don't like to use the word territorial or whatever it is. But I mean, there's a fierce pride in hurling that possibly isn't replicated in the football side of things at all. What does a win mean to Causeway? Oh,
a win to Causeway means everything. Look, it is our All-Ireland at this time of the year, even from tonight, starting off, getting ready for this county championship, taking nothing from any other club. We're all in there with a big bite or a big shout at it, but look, we're going to prepare well. It means everything to us. Mm-hmm. Even like looking at all the boys from last year, the kids in the field looking up to them, don't know, they're all going to be there from once the seniors start from tonight on. And look, it means everything. Mm-hmm. Means everything. It's a big thing in our club, is yeah, going to Jamjam.
And of course, a couple of years ago, one of those kids was Brendan, in the field, I suppose. Were you one of the little kids running around with a hurley and the Causeway colours?
I was, yeah. I used to be doing the water a lot through the years. Waiting to get on the field to play, to be honest, because it's where you want to be. Like,
yeah. What are your earliest memories of Causeway? I suppose like everything, teams go in cycles and they're successful and the whole lot, but they're competing every year. I mean, what are your first memories as a child, and maybe looking ahead, and some of the guys that you said, geez, I'd love to be like him, or I'd like to be as good as him or better than him?
Yeah, when I was young for that, probably looking in at the likes of John Mike and John Mike Dooley and them. I always wanted to be like John Mike, to be honest, when I was growing up. But they were probably my earliest memories when I was about 8 or 9, like, that's as far as back as I can think, you know.
And what's it like when you go to school then, and you're inside in the yard, and you're pretending to be John Mike Doolin, and you're banging in goals from what, maybe 14 inches or something like that, and putting the goalkeeper in front of
his knees?
Good stuff. Liam, just quickly back to you, I suppose, on that point. Last year, just go back and maybe recreate some of the magic from last year. I mean, the winning.
Last year was... Look, I sat inside in the stand against Kilmoyle and I said, oh my God, this is torture. Never see it coming, this, the way the boys performed, the way they came back. And then against Ballydove, we looked a totally different team again against Ballydove. Look, they ran us to the wire, but look, at the end of the day, when you have the calibre of the likes of Jason Diggins, Brendan Barrett, Dan Goggin, Tommy Barrett, Paul McGrath, all these boys give everything to Causeway. That's great credit due to him. Great credit due to this man here, look, alongside us as well. He puts his heart and soul in the Causeway. Mm-hmm. And that's where he is, and that's why he's there. We don't put him in that. It's the people of Causeway that put Stephen in that. And his backroom team with him. We put our trust, heart and soul on him, and look, they have given us everything. They owe nothing to Causeway. Don't know. It likes this man here, Jason, Dan, all of them with Kerry. They're in there for Causeway. They're in there for the flag, the maroon and white. They give everything. And look, we appreciate that so much. And can I say before I go any further, look, we have workers in the club in Causeway working behind the background that aren't even seen. the amount of work they do. Like, I'm only chairman with the last 6 or 8 weeks. There's a woman behind me there, Fiona Flynn. My God, the credit that woman should get. She is on the clock 24/7. The amount of text, phone calls, Saturday, Sunday makes no difference. And look, I just want to take this opportunity to thank Fiona for what she does and all our committee and members and everything else in the club. That is a great thanks from my side, not alone from the people because of what they do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, well said. And you know, I suppose in fairness, that's replicated across all the clubs as well. I mean, they wouldn't be there if they hadn't great people behind them. Stephen, when you hear that you're there because the people of Causeway want you there, is that kind of the tap on the back and the slap on the ass kind of very close well, to each other?
Don't you know yourself, you're only as good as your last one, you know. I don't know what they're saying on Friday night after we lose in the semi-final of the County League, but look, it is a great honour for me, great honour for my family, obviously, for me to be stuck with Causeway, like, you know, I'm going into my fifth season with them now. You know, a lot of time goes into it, but it's something I really enjoy doing, you know. And
well, is there pressure on something that you enjoy? I mean, I'm stuck with a 13 team, and trust me, yeah. Like, when you win, everybody thinks the team are fantastic. When you lose, it's the person that trained them's fault and the whole lot. Is there that kind of pressure out there? Are people forgiving, or do you know you?
I suppose you'll always have the people that will say the wrong thing and stuff like that. You know, now the people that get behind you are the people that are down doing stuff, and you know they're involved in the club, and you know, like your friends are always there for you as well. Like, you know, that you'd never hear a bad word out of them. Like, they all have your support, but obviously in every club, there's always people that'll be negative, and look, you just take that on the chin and just move on. Like, if you let it get you, you won't do nothing. Like, and it goes with every age group, yeah. You know. Like,
it seems to be part of it today, doesn't it? I mean, there is a tad negativity about everybody can do your job better than yourself, but I mean, at the end of the day, they're not down there 3 nights a week training them, they're not down doing all the stats and the video analysis, yeah. And looking after it.
Yeah, look, that's the way it is, I suppose. Look, like, club is gone semi-professional as well. Like, you look at the county setups now, like, it's to me, like, it's professional, really professional, and club has kind of gone that way as well, you know. Everyone is like is getting involved now to try and win, like, you know, and obviously there is pressure then, like, but look, like I say, you have to enjoy it, like, while you're there, you know, because it's a short spell, like, and while you're there, you might get the opportunity again. So when you are there, you try to do the job as best as you can, and sometimes it won't work, and sometimes you get the rubber green and it does work. But if we're not enjoying it, you should not be involved in the GAA, you know what I mean?
It is true, but sure, we all make our way back as well. Come here, Brendan, playing, enjoy it.
Love it, yeah.
Is there times there that you say, God, I should be playing golf or something, or I should be going to Benna?
Like, you'd always have your bad nights, like, where you'd be contemplating it, all right, like, but it's just about getting back on the horse again, like, and putting the head down again, like.
When you watch the Munster Hurling Championship, as everybody seems to be glued to it, and watch the Limericks and the Corks and the Tips and the Waters, and they're playing that level, they're promoting that love of that sport that you play. I mean, that must be a great feeling to think that you're part of that family as well, with the Kerry team, and you have that link to hurling at intercounty level.
Oh, it is, yeah, it is. The Munster Championship is a great advocate for any young hurler, like, wanting to be a hurler, if they just watch that game, like, that game yesterday between Cork and Limerick. So why wouldn't you want to be playing hurling, like, you know, at the top level?
Would you love to be inside the middle of them?
But of course.
where would you like to be marking, or who would you like to be marking?
I don't know. Even to be there, be close to it, or not, I'm happy with where I am.
It is. And of course, we try and replicate that with our Hurling Championship and the County Hurling Championship. It is. And it is very special, because I'm coming from a football side of it, and I suppose I'm a late follower to the Hurling Championship, and I have to say that football side of it cannot recreate the atmosphere, the colour, the passion. Maybe it becomes because there's only 9 of you battling it out. Do you feel that on the field, that when you go out in the first round of the Hurling Championship, doesn't matter who you're playing, Ballyduff, it could be Kilmiley, that you first of all, you have that responsibility to cause me and to do the 100% the best you can, but you feel that it's something special?
Oh yeah, 100% there. Like, last year when we were playing Kilmiley, we were down the dumps, 4 points down, like, and it was, you can nearly say the supporters and the boys on the sideline got us through it, like, they drove us on, like, they never give up on us, like, and you know, when you have a big crowd cheering you on, like, you want to do well for them, like, so you know, it is a massive plus, yeah, and like, the atmosphere can be, there's such rivalries out there, like, you know, the atmosphere does be fairly electric, like, and sometimes, you know.
So the WhatsApp groups be good, does it? When people tagging you and the whole.
No, I try to stay out of them.
he said he only tries to stay out of them, Liam, so he's probably looking a bit. Liam, I suppose to go back to the question that I asked about, and we're talking about the hurling championship, of course, and what creates it, what makes it different, what makes it special, and it is really special. And of course, people will probably look and say, the Kerry championship, that's something fantastic. Last year, it was covered live on television, wasn't it?
It was the first time.
And it was the first time ever that, you know, people from all over the country tuned in and watched Causeway and Ballyduff and.
Yeah. But which was a great thing, and even the referees are mic'd up as well for it.
Correct, yeah.
For it. But look, it is great for them. It is great for small little clubs out in North Kerry to be recognised for what they do. You know, there's only a couple of clubs out there probably that play football, but the hurling is heart and soul of North Kerry. And it is great, and I hope they do televise it again this year, because it every young child in North Kerry wants to see their idols playing, you know. It's only great for them. Mm-hmm. It's just great for them, like, it brings them on a pile.
There's only been any kids left in North Kerry, they nearly all go to the match, I suppose, to be watching it. Come here, let's go back to the draw. It's not made yet, Stephen. How do you approach draws? I mean, obviously you just have to wait what comes out. Now, you're going to be seeded, you're going to avoid your friends in Ballyduff, you're going to avoid, you might avoid Kilmaine, you mightn't avoid them. Does that really matter at this stage of it, where it's a group of three, two get out? Is it just about that, or do you have moments and say, God, I saw them now in the league, we could stay away from them for another couple of weeks, we'll be fine?
Yeah, look, draws really don't make much difference to us, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We haven't ever dwelled in it. Like, I suppose the last 2 years we've played Affert and Ballyduff, you know, two massive teams, like, in a tough draw, so, like, we had to do it all to get out of it. Like, every team in Ocarry, and including Crokes, you know, like, we played them in the county league, like, and they beat us by a pint out in Causeway. I was very impressed with them.
Mm-hmm. Have you been surprised at how Crokes, I suppose, in the 2 years have kind of gathered a little head of steam? Or have they got
the
players?
Yeah, well, I suppose, yeah. Do you know what? There's credit due to them, in fairness, you know. They won the Intermediate Championship, and, you know, they said they throw their hat into it. And obviously, they shipped a few bad beatings at the start, but, like, they're stuck with it, like, and I think they won three out of their county league games, like, against Good, or, you know, and I was very impressed with them tonight. They played Cause, and I think Aidan coming in, I think, is after making an awful job of him as well, you know. They're after buying into what he's doing, and, like, they're going to be a force for anyone inside the championship, because what I see when the evening we played them anyway is that they were very fit and fast. Mm-hmm. And inside Nastasex Park, if you're fit and fast, you have a good chance of winning a game, because the space inside there. So, like, this thing out there that you'd like to get Crokes in the championship, by watching them tonight, we played them, you know, I wouldn't
you
be too
put them in some other group for a while.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Don't know, but look, the draw is the draw. Don't know, everyone. What I would like probably is probably to try and get a different couple of teams as the teams we've played in the last few years. Don't know what I mean, just to mix it up a small bit. But look, if it comes down to
you want Ballyhig, is it?
No, definitely not.
Good stuff. Come here, Liam. Talks about the club, the amount of kids playing, going down there.
For the last couple of years, I suppose, look, we were building and building and building. Those couple of years we didn't have a failure team. This year is looking bright. We have a good under 13 there at the moment. Good numbers in it. We're joined in minor level with Abbey Dorley, going really well, playing Division 2. Had our first defeat on yesterday, beat by Ballyhig. But underage, 6s, 8s and 10s, it looks very positive for the club all the way down along. And it's great to see.
And what's the culture that's needed to kind of bring kids in at 6 and 8 to play?
I suppose the culture to bring them in is the likes of these fellas, the seniors, like, you know, these are the fellas, and fair play to a lot of them. They're there every night of the week, they're down the field even coaching teams and helping them come along. But, like, they look up to our Kerry boys, they look up, not even the Cause boys, even the Ballyduff boys, the Kilmiley boys and all the rest of them, you know. But there's the likes of the Cause boys that's playing with the likes of Kerry and things like that.
And the importance of having inter-county players with your club, I mean, it puts the spotlight on it when Kerry are playing and you go through your programme and you see Causeway, Kilmiley, Causeway, Abbey Dorney,
yes,
the whole lot.
Yeah.
But the importance of having a couple of men on a county team.
Yes, with the last couple of years, we're very lucky. Like, this year I think we had five, last year we had five or six. Every year we have good numbers going in with Kerry, and it does bring them on the pile. They're constantly working, they get no break. You know, I see my own son there, he's playing football with Niall, he's with Kerry, but hurling, and he's back because the very minute Kerry's finished. So it is complete circle. It goes around and around and around. But it is massive for the club to have the five or six boys in with Kerry. Mm-hmm. It is massive.
Of course, Brendan fools around with the big ball as well, doesn't he, the odd time?
I do, yeah. I try my best in that.
Come here. Is there a different approach to that kind of game, that one week you're out hurling and, you know, it is all hill for leather and the whole lot, and then you're playing football and it's a bit of hand-passing around and you might move a lot? Do you kind of naturally kind of figure out fairly quickly?
Yeah, it is, well, it's probably bad to say this, like, but it's an easier sport to play, all right, in a way, like, you know.
Football is.
It's I don't know, it's tough. It's tough to juggle both. Like I haven't played a football now in, you know, how long, 6-7 months. Like, I'm going to try to go back there on Wednesday night, like, and try facing the game the weekend. Like, you know, it's tough.
But you're
like,
still out and you're still playing.
You are, you're keeping fit, you know.
Keeping fit. Come here, any team that you would like? Any team out there that you said would like to meet you in the battlefield, guys, fairly quickly?
We've played the same crowd nearly every year, like, I don't really care, like, to be honest. It's all the same, sure.
There's no easy game out there,
I'm afraid.
Good stuff. Well, we'll wrap up now fairly shortly. Stephen, you've won 2 out of 4. Kind of win. We've won 2 in the last 4 years. And of course it takes a huge effort to get back to the table again every year. I mean, people think because you were in one final that you'll automatically fall into the next one. How hard is it to get to a final?
It is very hard to get to a final. I think we hadn't been in a final since we got to the final in 19, I think it was 2008 was the last time we got to the final before that. We've been lucky with the last number of years, but there's only 8 or 9 teams in it, and it is impossible. Like, you know what I mean? You have to have everything on your side. Like, you have to work hard in training. You have to really put your life on hold, like, and you have to try and give it everything. And even after doing all that, you still mightn't get to a final, but you need a bit of luck on the day, you know. Anyone you talk to that has won the championship the last number of years will say, geez, you have to have a bit rub of the green, like. Mm-hmm. So look, we're going to try, we're going to work hard, and look, we'll see where it takes us, and hopefully, like I said, you get a bit of luck, and we'll be in there again. And you know what an occasion to be a county final. I think you said about the television, I think, and what a match it was last year, the county final, like, the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. The commitment to both teams, you know, there weren't a bad stroke in the game, like, everyone just went on about it. It was physical, hard, and it was a great game, and look, we got a bit of a look to come out inside, and it was great to see the TV there as well, you know, to promote our little area of hurling all over Ireland, you know. And
I mean, there was people that evening in Mayo and Loud and the whole lot, and they mightn't have been able to find Causeway on the map, but they knew Causeway were the champions.
Yeah,
they had to figure out where you were, and I mean, that's a huge thing.
Well, massive, like, you know. And even like, it's even watching our, say, the other counties trying to get challenge games and stuff like that, you know, it'll promote you as well. And we've got good challenge games from even the county finals, you know. We have got good contacts out of it, and I'm sure Ballydough for the same, like, you know. It just promotes us and just shows what we're about, like, you know.
So, it puts you in the shop window,
exactly,
as well.
Yeah.
2008, Liam, there was a bit of a gap from there to the next lot. Does that get harder every year, that there's a small bit of a drought, that it goes 4 years without one, 5 years without one, 6? You see your neighbours, Kilmiley, you see Ardfert. What's the feeling then in the village? Like, Jesus, have we.
Sure, of course, there's a lull there. You know, like, look, we know how good we are. You know, we have a good side out in Causeway. There's fantastic players there. And each and every one of those fellas will give you 100%. But like Stephen says, you need the rubber green. You know, like, we're going into this championship, we're going to go to the draw. Who comes out of it, it makes no difference to us. We're going to have to take them all on. And look, best of luck to everybody. And look, we're going to be there fighting again to hopefully bring it home again this year.
Well, I have to say, you turned up just on the nick of time, anyway. I mean, fair play to you. You must have done the warm up somewhere else. But you were on the field on time, that's all that matters. And we'll get you across the road now for 6:30 so you can go around and see who you get in the draw. And as Brendan says, he doesn't fear anybody. You know, there's nobody out there waiting for him, anyway. Liam will play anybody, and you just want to stay away from Aidan O'Mahony for a while, because these teams are very, very fit, which is great. And it's great to see Crokes, of course, in there as well. So there you go. The draw will take place, of course, at 6:30. We'll send Ivan out now as well, who's wearing a Crokes top, actually. I even got injured, actually, before the game started here at 6:00. I told him not to hit his leg, but he bled for the cause and everything, so you can see him on the way over there. So there's no point going to hurling draw without a bit of blood, is there?
No.
Good stuff. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now a note here from Ishke Éireann and Kerry County Council, and if you're in Glynbe, it will affect you. There will be overnight restrictions to the water supply to Glynbe and the surrounding areas from the 29th of May until Wednesday the 31st of May. Now an alternative water supply will be provided in the car park of the Glynbe GAA pitch, as that was Glynbe Glencar GAA pitch it should be, from 8 a.m. to the 30th of May, and customers are reminded to use their own containers when taking water from the tanker and to boil water before consumption as a precautionary measure. Now boil water by bringing to a vigorous rolling boil and allow to cool before drinking. Now Ishke Éireann and Kerry County Council are working together to resolve this issue, and they appreciate your appearance on that matter. And as I said, that is a notice from Ishke Éireann, and we might read it out again later on. Now the Kerry Senior Ladies, it was heartbreak on Sunday as Cork stunned them, the Division 1 champions, with a 5-goal performance that I suppose a lot of people didn't see coming anywhere. And after the game, Dan Kearney spoke to Dara Long.
Right, Dara, I suppose the foundation for that Cork victory was laid in the first half, really.
Yeah, disappointing first half, not at the standards we set for ourselves, hugely disappointing. As Dick said there in the huddle after a game of, you know, a night and day kind of performance by us, rectified a lot of things in the second half, left probably two penalties and two more goals after us. So look, it could have been a different result, but look, fair juice to Cork, better team won in the day. We have to go away, lick our wounds, and look, we'll come back fighting. This is by no means the end of this Kerry group.
Yeah, you were 2-5 to no score down after 10 minutes, I suppose. Look, just what was going through your head there? I mean, that's a fairly tough situation to be in, like when you're trying to, you know, revamp the team and see what's going wrong.
Yeah, look, there wasn't much we could do. I think Louise Galvin came on maybe after 20 minutes and added a huge amount for the rest of the game. The energy she brought, the physicality she brings, leadership she brings, and she's someone we called out within the group there, that she's kind of a standard bearer within the group of girls who want to start in this team, and she trains the right way, attitude is on point. But going back to the first 10 minutes, it was a shock to us, but they got a really, really fast start, and look, we couldn't live with them. I think a lot of it was down to our own doing. We were standing off girls. I think we hung out our full back line to dry. The ball going into the Cork forwards was lovely ball. There was no pressure on it, so myself and Declan could have probably still played there today with the ball that was going into us. So we rectified a lot of that in the second half, and look, that's what we have to cling on to today, is that second half performance, where look, a lot of the stuff we talked about and the reaction we looked for, we got. But it's just to build on that over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Hugely disappointed. It's a cup we really, really wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
But look, we'll go away, lick our wounds, and we'll come back fighting.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, where would you put it down to in the first half? Like, you know, obviously you would have prepared well and all that, and you would have, you know, analysed and all the rest of it. But it just, they seemed to be stuck to the ground. Do you think it was nerves, or was it the occasion, or what was it? Or
was it
just that Cork came out of the traps that bit better?
I'd probably have to agree with Cork came out of the traps just absolutely firing in all cylinders, and fair play to them. We trained really well. Yeah. There was a great buzz in the camp all week. We got very good at getting fast starts in games, and today we just couldn't get to the pitch of the game early. And look, that's probably credit to Cork with the pace and the intensity came out, and they really pressed high early, and we just struggled to get out. And as you said, it looked like there was lead in some of our girls' boots for the first 30 minutes. And look, it was a question of pride in the second half. So look, we're really happy and really have a huge respect for our group to come out and show what they showed in the second half, that we're not going to lie down for any team. And I don't think we did, and I think Cork will respect us for that piece. But look, at the end of the day, we've lost the Munster final. Hugely disappointed. So yeah, we have to go back to the drawing board a little bit. But look, as I said, someone like Louise Galvin, she sets the tone. The experience she brings to the group, we need girls to feed off her over the next couple of weeks and really put their hands up for competition for starting place.
There you go, that was Dara Long, the joint manager of the Kerry Senior Ladies football team. And of course, a 4-goal blitz there in the first half really kind of scuppered that. Delighted to have Dan Kearney, who of course you heard interviewing there. Dan, thanks for joining us. I suppose I don't want to start with, like, we've kind of been here before with Kerry going into a final and favourites tags, but very few people would have seen the way this result would have went prior to this game.
Yeah, I suppose, look, like Dara said there in his interview, like Cork just completely came out of the blocks and they blew Kerry away, and Kerry just couldn't cope with it early doors, like, you know, and that was the reality behind it. And I suppose we didn't see it coming, but I suppose things like that happen in sport, they happen all the time. But like that, like, the second half, Kerry did come back. I mean, they outscored them, I think it was 2-10 to 1-4 in the second half. Kerry did, like, you know, so it was kind of a game of two halves to a certain extent. It's just that really and truly Cork, they were blazing from the start, like, you know, whether they had a cup of coffee before the game or what they had, I don't know, but they were absolutely flying it, you know, and they played some absolutely scintillating football. But like, credit to Kerry, and I must say, you know, at halftime we were all kind of going, genie makers, what's just happened here? You know, it really was that kind of a situation. And, you know, it was kind of fearful for what we might see in the second half. But look, Kerry went out and they restored pride. And you know what? Look, there was a couple of instances, like they could have had three goals in the second half, really. They had two penalties. And Sheffield O'Shea was very unlucky with a shot at goal as well. Like, and you know, when you look at it from that point of view, like, they weren't far off it. It was only a 6-point defeat in the finish. Like, but Cork really came out of the traps, and that laid the foundation for their victory, Donald.
Yeah. A lot of the games this year, I suppose, at the early part of the league, Kerry kind of struggled over and won games. But then they got to a stage where they kind of started really well. And even Dara alluded there that, you know, that we normally get a fast start and get scores up. But 2-5 to 1 point down after 10 or 11 minutes, Kerry looked very cold, very flat. And of course, you alluded to in the, I suppose, the conversation with Dara about, you know, that they were training, there was a great buzz, everything was ready to go. Does that shell shock players on a field when all of a sudden you're looking up at the clock, 10 minutes gone, 2-5 to 1 point? Would that have set the tone and maybe a little bit of, I suppose, fracturedness with Kerry, particularly in the first half?
Oh, it certainly would, like, you know, sure. I mean, we can all remember back to the time that the Kerry senior men, they blew Dublin away, and was it Pat Gilroy came up with the famous start of the year week's comment, like, you know, and it was, there was a touch to that, really, with Kerry the last day. I mean, you know, they were looking around, they were, you know, saying, Genie Makers, how can we get this right, you know, and it's very, very difficult when you're facing an onslaught like that. And like, must be said, Cork played some absolutely fantastic football. You know, they're kicked, like, what they sort of did, like, is they passed the ball at pace. It was all coming off the shoulder. They withdrew their players then, so they left one and ones inside and kicked the ball in very early. And you know, when you've lethal forwards inside, they're like Dearno Sullivan, who was playing at the edge of the square for a good share of it, like, you know, Libby Coppinger was buzzing, Casey Quirk, you know, she was, and Orla Cahalan, like, you know, when you've players like that getting quality ball in one-on-one situations, they're going to do damage. They're going to do damage, and that was the problem. But like I said, the lads, I'd say first of all, the lads were hoping that water breaks were back again. Like, yes, just, I mean, if they were, they could gather them on the sideline. That's where you'd miss the water break if you're a coach. But look, they got him in at half time, and credit to them, they changed the formation. They became tougher at the back. They got bodies behind the ball and carried in. Kerry did, a Cork job in the second half in terms of, like, that they broke a pace and used the ball early. Like, so look, what can you say? If a team learns from their mistakes in the first half and come back, that's a good sign. But certainly Cork did blitz them in the first half, and I suppose Kerry were looking around and wondering what the hell is going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it isn't the end of the road by any matter of means. I mean, 5-14 to 2-17, I mean, to some scoring for a ladies' game. And particularly, like you said, I mean, Kerry scored 2-10 there in the second half. That had been most games for you on their own, which is outstanding. Come here, they're not out of it. They do, however, go into their next group. Three teams in the group, Kerry one of them. The Leinster champions, Dublin, a big win again yesterday. Number 10 in a row, I think, in Leinster. They're really controlling Leinster. And Cavan, who were the third team in Ulster. Does that give the boys a chance to kind of regroup now? They said that there's 3 weeks and they're hoping to get a reaction.
Absolutely. That 3 weeks is the most welcome 3 weeks that Kerry team will ever have. I mean, there are 4 weeks effectively on the road, you know, and that's bound to take its toll, you know, in fairness, like, when we're constantly playing away from home. They have 3 weeks now to gather themselves to get back to brass tacks, as the man says. It's a group that's very, very manageable. I mean, they already hammered Dublin there in the league, you know, down in
an outstanding performance that night too, yeah.
Outstanding performance, played unbelievable football. So they're well capable of beating Dublin again. Kevin, they'll certainly beat Kevin, I've no doubt whatsoever in my mind. You know, they won't be saying it, but I've no doubt they're going to beat Kevin. So, look, you're looking that they're going to get out of that group anyway. Now, of course, the carrot is, if you finish top of the group, you get a home quarter final. So that's what Kerry will be aiming for. So they'll want to win their two games in that group, get a home quarter final. You know, God only knows what could happen after that. You know, you could be looking at a semi final, a final again. So there's a huge amount of football there to play. Like, they'll be disappointed over yesterday. You know, of course they will. It's a cup that they really wanted to win. But look, the All-Ireland, I suppose, is the ultimate aim, and they're well in with a shout, Donald.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course it is, and it is nor by a long haul. Come here, you mentioned the word disappointed. What was the most disappointing thing that you think the players themselves would be disappointed about leaving the field yesterday?
I'd say probably, what kind of killed them as well as Cork's fabulous play in the first half, there was a huge amount of turnovers by Kerry. You know, in vital positions, I'd say the very first Cork goal, you know, came from a turnover in the middle of the field by Kerry. Cork broke at pace, bang, back of the net. That kind of stuff was gone from Kerry's game. I suppose it was more prevalent in the last couple of years, but this year that stuff was gone, and it culminated in them winning the National League. You know, and you know, the less turnovers obviously you have in a game, the better. Now, another thing though is, and Kerry were doing it all year, they were taking their chances. They didn't take their chances yesterday. And if you don't take your chances at top level competition, you're going to get punished at the other end. And that unfortunately was another problem. And I think the Kerry girls, they'll probably look at themselves after the game and they'll say, you know, I didn't perform out there. There was one or two, there was a few exceptions to be fair. Daniel O'Leary had an outstanding game, I felt. Lorraine was going well there in the middle of the field. But like, there was few and far between, like in fairness. And Eshin O'Connell had a good first half, in fairness to her. But look, they will look at themselves, and I'd say, look, the standards are very, very high in that group. They look at themselves and say, we didn't perform up to task here. We know we're capable of an awful lot better, and I think they'll go out there and they'll go out and try and prove a point going forward. And that's not a bad thing either when you have a point to prove, Donald.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I suppose it's better be chasing the target than have you as the target maybe sometimes. Come here, Dan. Just one quick question, because we have to cut across for about 2 minutes just for a quick update on the hurling draw, and I'll stay with you. But the atmosphere in Mallow, it's a great ground for ladies football. It has been over the years, but some of the photographs I was watching on social media by Anish Photography, the amount of people that was at it, it really has become kind of a big day out now, the Munster Ladies Senior Football Final.
There was a fine crowd there and a brilliant atmosphere, and you know, I suppose there was kids playing at half time. You know, I know my own club, Castleland Desmond's there. They carried up their under eights and they were playing at half time. That brings the crowd as well, like, you know, because you'll have the parents up and they're watching it and all that. Like, but I think there's a genuine interest now in ladies football and in watching this team, and of course they have been successful, and success brings more people involved and all the rest of it, and people want to, and of course Cork always, in fairness to them, Cork always bring a good following, and they were at home, you know. So it was a great atmosphere, like you say. It's a lovely ground for a crowd, you know. If that was in Parky Keeve now yesterday, you wouldn't have half the atmosphere. But like Mallow lends itself, and of course, look, the day helped as well. So it's an absolutely fabulous day out there, like, you know, like this evening, you know. So that all helped on, like, so. No, a great day out, and you know, Mallow, like you say, is a fabulous venue for that.
Good. So, Dan, would you mind staying just on for two more minutes? We're going to shoot across to the hurling just to see a sport that neither of us know a whole pile about, and we'll figure out the draw, and we'll be back to you in 2 minutes if that's okay with you, Dan.
Don't know about.
We'll cut across live to Ivan Hurley now in Garvey's.
Yeah, welcome here, Dom, to Garvey's Super Value here. So the draw is just getting underway. So they're going for the seeded semi-finalists from last year. First, of course, that was the same way the draw was done last year. So you've got your two seeded teams in Causeway and Ballyduff already. But then we're waiting on this semi-finalist, which our Kerry GA chairman is about to pull out of the Niels Flynn Cup. Sam McGuire made his way here as well. Crato O'Neill's. So we've got three seeded teams. That's Causeway, Ballyduff, and Crato O'Neill's. So they're getting the draw together now done. So Crato will be relatively happy with that. A seeded draw for them, of course. They were in group last year with Dixon and Ballyhaig. Of course, our two finalists came from group one last year, Ballyduff, Causeway, and St. Brendan's. So Ballyduff are going to Group A. That's the first team drawn into the 2023 Garvey Super Value County Senior Hurling Championship. Crota into Group B. And Causeway, of course, into Group C. So the remaining six teams are going to Hearts now at the moment. So Group A at the moment has Ballyduff. Group B has Crotta O'Neills, who just came out of the semi-final pairing from last year as the seeded team, and Causeway into Group C. So the teams are in. First name out of the hat into Group A is Lixnaw. So that's Ballyduff and Lixnaw into Group A of the 2023 County Senior Hurling Championship. Dr. Crokes into Group B. Of course, Crokes faced the Crotta O'Neills in their first year 2 years ago in this competition in the group stages as well. And Kilmoyley and Causeway. There's a few oohs going out from the crowd here for that one. So Group A is Ballyduff and Lixnaw. Group B, Crotta O'Neills and Dr. Crokes. And Group C, Causeway and Kilmoyley. Ballyhaig into Group A. Group B, last team, Abidorny. Again, two teams Crokes have met. That's the exact same grouping as back in 2021. And St. Brendan's. Group C, so that concludes the draw. Group A, Donald, Ballyduff, Lixnaw, Ballyhaig. Group B, Crotta O'Neills, Dr. Crokes and Abidorny. And Group C, Causeway, Kilmoyley and St. Brendan's. Maybe the group of death. Just go through them once more. 2023 Garvey Super Valley County Senior Hurling Championship. Group A, Ballyduff, Lixnaw, Ballyhaig. Group B, Crotta O'Neills, Dr. Crokes and Abidorny. And Group C, Causeway, Kilmoyley and St. Brendan's, Donald.
Yeah, thanks very much. I love the way he says Lixnaw. I mean, what most people in North Kerry would have an N in it, surely. Dan, we'll finish off quite quickly. Kerry to go from here, okay, I mean, I suppose they're the Division 1 champions and people kind of, I suppose, expected, but were we not kind of maybe overriding how good Cork are as well? I mean, Cork aren't there for the taking by any stretch of the imagination, and Shane Ronan is a character of note, you know, who really can kind of get the best out of teams, and there's certainly a mark of Shane Ronan on that Cork team. They might even have a good kick on going towards the end of this year's championship.
Yeah, they will, of course, sir. Like you could never I suppose write off Cork, like, you know, in fairness, like, and especially a confident Cork. You know, Cork people breed off confidence, and that'll give them a huge confidence going forward. They're motoring well, and I mean, that was even without Eric O'Shea, you could say, like, who doesn't seem to be on the panel at the moment. There's lots of different stories going around about that, but none that we can confirm, as the man says. But yeah, no, they're going to be there or thereabouts. You're going to have Kerry, Cork, Dublin and Meath aren't gone away either, even though they don't seem to be motoring as well as they have been in previous years, and Galway Mayo. So you've six teams there, like, that are you know, well capable of you know, lifting the Brendan Martin Cup at the end of the day. So, like, Cork are certainly not written off by any manner of means. Like, you know, I mean, their performance, particularly in the first half yesterday, show that they're still a force to be reckoned with. I still think, you know, maybe it's just the Kerry man in me always wanting to beat Cork. I still think that there's a victory for Kerry over Cork this year. You know, they've played three times already. There was one defeat to Kerry. You know, there was the draw where Cork came back after 10 points down, and there was yesterday. But I think there's another kick in this Kerry team, and if they meet Cork later on in the year, I think they'll have their number. I honestly do. So look, there's plenty to play for, and you know, there's six teams in with a show for the All-Ireland, so it's going to be a great series, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely, fair pleasure, Dan. Dan, do you know anything about horse racing out there in Castle Island, Joe?
Oh my goodness, not a thing. I wouldn't know the front of a horse from the back of a horse.
Says, well, we'll get a fair education after 7 o'clock, because there's a few Castle Island men in there and they're going to talk horse racing to me. So stay tuned for that. For now, though, we take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
I suppose you can never depend on hurling men to be on time, dude. They're always about 2 minutes overtime. Come in here, lads. We'll send somebody out. The hurling draw is made, of course. In Group 1, it is Ballyduff, Lixnaw and Ballyhaig. In Group 2, we have Crotta O'Neills, Dr. Crokes and Abidorny. And as we said earlier, it was quite amazing. That's the same group as 2021. I wonder will something different get over this time. And of course, Group C, we had the Causeway men in earlier. And they'll be making friends again with Kilmoyley and St. Brendan's teams that they know well in the past. I've been joined by Ger McCarthy and Liam Ross, who have absolutely sprinted. I never saw Ger McCarthy sprint as much. So Ger, you take a break there, okay? Liam Ross looks a small bit fitter. Liam Ross looks a small bit fitter. Liam, there's fierce excitement when we start talking about hurling county championship, it's a different thing. I spoke earlier about the football one, and I'm a football man. It doesn't seem to recreate the same thing. The hurling have it. They have the passion. They have the fight. They have the teams, and I suppose maybe the small banter of clubs. But now it is real. The groups have been made, and off you go. And we're going to have a great couple of weeks.
Look, I mean, to say, in fairness to Gary's, the sponsors this evening, the crowd down there was fantastic, and you know, you could even see through the players, like, there was a good buzz. They were all anxious to, I suppose, to see who they were going to be playing against. And like, I mean, it's great draws. There's a group of death there, like, I mean, it's Sam Brendan's cause and Kilmiley, you know. That's going to be a fascinating group. But you know, look, in due respect to all the teams that are playing there, like, I mean, it's there's any team on any given day can win the Kerry Senior Hurling Championship, you know.
Liam, the value of a good sponsor, we're going to be talking later on about the value of sponsors and supporting, I suppose, clubs and the whole lot. But Garvey's have been backing hurling for a long time.
Oh yeah, like I mean, they were spoke below there, like I mean, said they're 12 or 14 year sponsor of the Kerry Senior Hurling Championship. And like, I mean, I know myself, being from a business background as well, that it means a lot. Like I mean, said you can give something back to your local community. And in fairness to Garvey's, they're giving massive back to mm-hmm. County Kerry, yeah. And you know, and like it shows, people are very appreciative of what they do for the county.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you brought your giant manager along, Jerry McCarthy. Jerry, every time I see you, you're wearing a different cap. Tonight is hurling. Camogie, congratulations on the weekend. A very good result on the Westmead draw. Fair play to you.
Thanks.
Very good. But we'll talk hurling for now. Making draws, I suppose, it's the start of a getting real, but as soon as that draw's been made, the fellas go on training out straight away, knowing who they're going to be playing, who they're going to be marking, and I suppose managers will be cluing in fairly quickly. But the first couple of games, how important is it for teams to get back hurling at a competitive level, particularly in the county championship?
Well, I suppose down after tonight, it's laying the business on. It's full business on for all the managers and also for the players. But there's some very interesting, you know, line the pairings here in the groups. But look, tonight they're going to go back. Their plans are in place, obviously. Well, before tonight, they'll probably go back and they'll like lay out their stall for their training pattern and when the dates will come out by the CCC later on. Yeah, look, they have to target every game. Every game is a big game, and if you're to line progress in the championship, you have to win your way through it. So, yes, there's a lot of planning will take place from this evening.
Yeah, and Liam, I suppose last year we were talking to the Causeway boys, and we were saying like the rise of hurling is amazing, because last year it was covered for the first time on television. It was live. We have it in Radio Kerry, but the thing was on TJ Cahir, and people were watching it from Dublin and Mayo and the whole lot. And even the Causeway boys were saying that people that weren't from, we'll say, the Kerry area were all of a sudden knowing that Causeway was a place, and you know, Causeway played hurling and the whole lot. The importance of having that back, it mightn't be this year, but I mean, even that as a moment in time, that was a great mark for hurling.
Oh sure, that's fantastic. Like I mean, I have a sister living in New Jersey, my sister Helen and her husband Mark and son Sean, and like they were even tuned into it, and like, okay, they were getting it on Radio Kerry, but at least they were able to see it, and you know, you were able to get the communication from the referee to the players, and like I mean, to say fair, I think it was very well done, like, you know. So hopefully going forward, maybe that it might come again, you know.
Yeah, but you didn't get the result though, did you?
Well, I suppose I have to be neutral here now. I'm Kerry Hurling officer, so maybe last year was different. Yeah, probably went a small bit. I suppose we were probably hot favourites to win it. But look, on any given day, as I said, any team can win it. And fair play to cause of last year.
Winning it, Liam, means so much to clubs. I mean, you could even see it with the Causeway boys. They won it. They were talking about that there was a bit of a drought for a couple of years, and they were getting angsty. And then they had it, and then they lost it, and then they lost the Kilmiley again, and they won it back. It's hard earned, isn't it?
Oh, it is very hard done. Like I mean, as I said, look, in the outset there, look, any team in any given day can win the Kerry County Senior Hurling Championship, you know, and it's all by a hop of a ball that can go either way. Like I mean, say, if you see the John McDonough final, Carlo and Offaly, like I mean, it was touch and go. Someone had it and they lost it, and next, you know. So like on any given day, any team can that prepares well can win the Kerry Senior Hurling Championship.
Sure, the standard of club hurling at the moment, I mean, it's probably on the rise. We were talking to the boys about the county league. There's games, there's regular games, the whole lot. I suppose without the Kerry players, they're back now again. The standard, it's a good standard, it's a good product.
Absolutely. Look, on this part, it goes back in history, even where that the standards have come up a long way here in Kerry Hurling. But the Kerry Hurling County Championship was always the most colourful championship, even in Munster, you know, and people came from outside other counties. Yes, the standards have been raised. I saw a fantastic game last Friday evening between Cars and Ebidorn. He served up, played at a very high intensity game. Great skill, great scores, and I think we're going to see a lot of that in this year's championship by all the teams, because I've seen a few games since things kind of lined to slow down a bit, and Ballyhigh, I've been very impressed with them. I see him playing Kilmaley one night. You know, these teams like Dr. Crokes, look, it's great to have nine teams here there this evening. Dr. Crokes have lovely players, and it's grown, you know, and like it's great for them, and it's great for Hurling in general that we have an extra team, and hopefully maybe next year we'll have maybe 10 in it. But yeah, the standards are we'll say right throughout the year the standards have been getting better and better and better, and the more games that we're getting, you can see it coming through, you know.
Liam, of course, everyone's going to sit down now and they're going to wait for the fixtures to come out, and that's the next thing then, who's playing where and playing and what. Ossinsack Park, I'd imagine, will feature for a lot of those games.
Without a doubt. Look, Ossinsack Park is the venue for all the senior Hurling Championships, and look, every player, that's where they want to play. It's like playing with your county, you want to play in Turles, or you want to play in Simple Stadiums, or in Croke Park. Yep. Ossinsack is the Simple Stadium of Kelly.
It's a place to watch a hurling match from as well, like, in fairness, like, I mean, they can create an atmosphere in the stand and the whole lot. Liam, we'll just talk about Crokes for 30 seconds. I mean, they won three games in the league. They're the newest team as such, but they're the only team on that side of the country, in a sense. For the development of hurling generally, to get the Rathmores and the Fieries and all these up, they need to be seeing more teams like Crokes kind of competing at this level.
Oh, they do, of course. Like, I mean, say, look, in fairness to Crokes, they've put in a good lot of groundwork, like, you know, and in fairness to Fieries, Rathmore, you know, Kinmare, Kilgarvan, to a lesser extent, probably they could do a bit more, you know. But look, I mean, say, we're working on it, and like, I mean, say, if they can aspire to Dr. Crokes playing the Senior Hurling Championship, I can't see why they can't play there either.
Yeah, absolutely. Jerry McCarthy, give me. Jesus, I won't ask you to pick one because you'll lie to me.
Don't lie that to you.
Very quickly, pick two teams out of Group A that'll come out of it. Ballyduff, Lixnaw, Ballyhigh. I'll leave you out of it because you're elected.
Thanks, John.
Wait, put the pressure on, Ger.
Look, I suppose, Don, look, let's be fair, like, in the Ballyduff for last year's county finalists, you know, they're going to be thereabouts. Lixnaw are doing... they're doing some great work under their new manager, like Barry Hennessy. Ballyhigh are holding very well this year. Look, I'd be fancying like Ballyduff probably had to come out of it. And look, like between Lixnaw and Ballyhigh, I suppose I would have to have a slight nod for Lixnaw.
Yes, that's it. Causeway, Kilmoyle and St. Brendan's. I suppose Kilmoyle won't get out of that group at all, will they?
Well, I think that's a cutthroat group now, because there are some James give me an answer to that one now. Look, Causeway and Kilmoyle there and St. Brendan's, they're in the three top teams.
You have 10 seconds. Crotter, Crokes, Ebidorney.
I think Ebidorney is the team that certainly I will be watching very close in the championship, and Line the Crotter O'Neill's, it'll be on their heels.
Fair pleasure. With 5 seconds to spare, God, we could have put another ad in or something. Listen, guys, thanks very much. We really appreciate that. We go to news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Hi, Donald. One thing that helps the Kerry County Hurling Championship so good is there's little between nearly all the teams, which leads to some cracking games. And that's Charles out there in North Kerry. Absolutely. And we can't wait to look forward to it. Something I can't wait to look forward to as well is on the 11th of June, it swings back into horse and pony racing. Castle Island Races, of course, has a unique history, I suppose. It's been one of the oldest recorded horse and pony races. I must find out if it's in Ireland, but certainly in Kerry. And this year they go back again on the 11th of June. I'm delighted to be joined by, well, three gentlemen, all fairly busy men. Willie Reedy, who is the clerk of the course, Ted Kinney, who is the vice chairperson, and of course there could be only one chairperson, that's Charlie Farley. Good lead in there, Charlie, wasn't it? Charlie, come here. Thanks for taking the time to come in. I suppose summer springs around so quickly, and horse racing to me is a sign of real summer beginning, and the weather's fantastic outside. Castle Island, before we go into to when it's on, it is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, recorded races.
Yeah, Donald, yeah, good evening, and thank you so much for bringing us in here on behalf of the Castle Island Race Committee. I have a cutting here from the Tralee Chronicle and the Killarney the Killarney Echo on Thursday, the February the 12th, 1859, advertising the Castle Island races. God. And that's the oldest recording that we can get. We got it in the library in Tralee. Mike down there, he was very good tracing the history for us, and this is as far back as we can go back. So we do believe that it started as a 3-day meeting, a steeplechase meeting in 1859, and went on then, and it turned into be they had jumps along with flat meetings. They had a mixture, and it went on for many, many years in various different places in Castleina. But that's the oldest. You're right, Donald. It is. We're claiming it's the oldest. We put out a challenge there when on our 150th anniversary. We put out a challenge to any other horse and pony race meeting in Ireland. Nobody could come up with anything back further than no. Neither the three was around that time to verify it, but Donald. But yeah, the paper says here, the Tralee Chronicle says 1859 was the first meeting.
Ted Kennedy, isn't that just amazing? I mean, step back from the whole thing to think that something that you're putting out again this year has that particular history. And if you think about it, you can go back through generations of families and the whole lot. And I imagine like four generations ago of Kennedys or obviously not Farrellys, because they were imported people, weren't they?
Farmers. And here long enough now to get refugee status.
We had Reedies and the whole lot. But it's amazing to have that linked into your culture.
It is, and it's great for the town. I mean, at the end of the day, I suppose, I remember going back 30, 40 years ago, my granduncle in Ballymacheligot, Mick Kenny, was involved in the race committee in Castleland. And I'm very happy to be involved with the committee in Castleland, because I suppose at the end of the day, there's a great bunch of lads and women in the committee, great community spirit. The town of Castleland is probably, well, I personally believe it's an outstanding town with local businesses and raising money. And that's across all businesses, not only in Castle Island but the surrounding district. I mean, if you look at Castle Island races, when we started, we made a decision 15 years ago that we'd start running the races for charity, and since that time we've raised 195,300 euro for a wide range of charities, not only locally in Castle Island but in the greater good of Kerry. And they would include the likes of Murrigan Small, Cran School, the autism unit in Murrigan Small, Scullone and Castle Island Playground, Kerry Cancer Support Group, Recovery Haven, Comfort for Chemo Tralee, Glebe Lodge, Castle Island Daycare Centre, St Mary's of the Angels Beaufort, the Kerry Stars Special Olympics. So they've all benefited from not only from the ads that we collect for our program,
which is unique enough, because many events when they collect their money, it's probably reinvested into posters for the following year, but you're investing the money that you make or the income or the surplus, and you're actually putting it back in improving people's lives, maybe in a small bit, but even so, those people have to collect that money somewhere else, and you're handing them checks at the end of this, which is quite amazing.
It is, and it's great to be part of that organisation that allows us to do that for them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're writing checks, of course. One man, I don't know whether he's writing checks or not, but he certainly goes looking for a bit of money, Willie Reedy, Clerk of the Course. Willie, first of all, let people know what the Clerk of the Course does.
Well, you have to make sure everything goes right, and everything, safety is number one in
standard,
you.
Yeah.
Safety, yeah, and keeping the people off, trying to keep the people off the field, and
right.
The vet.
That's a tough job in Castle Island, is it?
It is. There's a vet there. Then we have to have a vet, and we have to have a doctor, and we have to have Red Cross. We have to have everything.
Yeah. So it's not
just about racing.
Yeah. So it's not just turn up on the day and it'll be all right. I mean, I presume, Willie, there's a lot of planning and there's a lot of meetings.
2 weeks of preparing. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Charlie, I suppose the event, like everything, I mean, the prize money, you can't find it in your back pockets. You have to go, like every other organisation, sponsorship. I suppose it plays a vital part to it as well, particularly local sponsorship. But a lot of these kind of, I suppose, events, you have to go abroad to get people in to help you as well.
Yeah, we do. Donald, as Ted has said, like, we're blessed in Castle Island. I'm 30 years living in the town now in Castle Island, and it's a phenomenal town. The district is a phenomenal district, starting in the whole Slieve-Lucre area, the we call it St. Kieran's area, from Ballymac stretching out to Mount Collins, out to Brosna. It's unbelievable. But look, we have our main sponsors. We have Willie's son here. He can talk about himself there, Mortimer, who's a very successful contractor in London, and he has never forgot his roots, and he's our main sponsor and has been for the last 10 years, and this year he's sponsoring 1,500. You have the likes of Noel Brown, who has been in business in Castellan for many years, still training a few dogs or whatever. Noel always comes on board with us. We have Tom McCarthy's Bar, another major sponsor this year, Lee Strand and Brown's Agri, we have Dinger's Restaurant, Sullivan Transport, and of course, not forgetting, we wouldn't have any races in Castellan. We started back, the races left from a good number of years, and we started back in 1999. The current committee that are there are 15 of us left now, but we started off with 21 in the committee. We've lost six people along the way who have went to their return reward, but it's amazing to see that there are 15 of us still together after 24 years this year. We started off having the races when it had lapsed for a number of years, and we started off having them in Craig Cave, and Donald and Lisa Ganey were so good to us, and then we went from there to Paul's Road, where the Ganey family originally came from. Monty Brosnan, who is the owner of Gorty Clay Mark, subsequently bought some of that land there. So we've been running on this, and it's the most scenic track that you'll see. The car park field belongs to Dave Ganey. So Matty has currently this evening, I count in there, I think there's 106 head of cattle in there on the two fields. So next Sunday we'll be running Matty's cattle up with his permission. We'll be putting them out to graze somewhere else, and we'll be taking charge of the field. And it's not many people who will let you in. There's 28 acres in the field, in the race field alone, and there's not many people who will let you in for 28 acres, 17 in the car parking field, and say, lads, work away there for the week, and have the cattle back in for the following Tuesday week. There's not many. I don't think there's any farmers around that can afford to do that with land so scarce and grazing rights, grazing so scarce. But Monty does it. He's an unbelievable man, and that's why Gorty Clay Mart, I suppose, is going so well. And without him, we wouldn't have. But the sponsors, they keep coming back to us year and year in, year out. So that's why, because we have the sponsors, like as I said, the publicans in town, all the publicans in town, the sponsors, the Noel Browns, like the O'Sullivan Transports, like the Lee Strands and the Browns, they sponsored the races individually. So that's why we were able to give the gate profits, that we were able to funnel those back into charity.
Yeah. Ted Kenny, it seems that there's an awful lot of cooperation needed to put the jigsaw together. I mean, there's not a lot of moving pieces and the whole lot, and even getting the race course and getting the sponsorship, and I suppose getting the volunteers and the whole lot. Do you find it difficult to get volunteers to put on the jackets and off they go, or is it the same 15 men? Or that's a very dangerous question, Charlie, is it?
Women.
And women.
Yeah, look, it's like every organisation. The volunteers are scarce on the ground everywhere now. Mm-hmm. Not many people are prepared. Of course, with their own working lives and all that, they probably don't have the time to give up voluntarily to do this. But we're lucky with the group of people we have. They're a great committee. We get help. Now, we've put out a battle cry for any volunteers that are available on Bank Holiday Monday at 11 a.m. to be in Paul's Road in Ganey's Field, Brosnan's Field now, to give us a hand setting up the course, because that is more or less a 24-hour job. I mean, that is, and that has to be done in such a standard that Willie alluded to. It's all around safety. It's all around insurance. Insurance has gone through the roof. And we have to have a safe, not only for the public but for the jockeys, and that is a major issue, and for us. And I'll be quite honest, insurance in this country is crippling. Mm-hmm. It's going to make it harder and harder for race meetings to continue. Mm-hmm. To be quite honest.
And it's kind of targeted at different events as such. I was listening to a person today talking about insurance as such, and it's a lot of kind of smaller minority sports and efforts and events that seem to be falling into where they can't get insurance, or insurance is too expensive. It's kind of putting it out of reach for a lot of people.
It is, and that's a fear. And it's not only just ourselves, it's other organisations, not only in Castellana but in the greater Kerry area, that are finding challenges for insurance. Mm-hmm. And it started a number of years ago. I mean, the first group I heard was the skating at Christmas event.
That's
was
right.
Cancelled. because rising and crazy insurance costs. And I'll be quite honest, I think the government should be doing more in relation to that, because there seems to be no justification as to the figures insurance companies are charging. And there seems to be an easy option out for insurance companies as well, to just make a decision, sorry, we're not going to insure you. We're not going to give you a quote.
Yeah.
And then you have to go outside of the county or outside of the country to see can you get it. And that's major challenging, like.
Yeah, and of course the small sporting events that are feeling the pinch there as well. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back, and we're going to ask poor old Willie how much he gets in the cheque there from the Sun. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Hey, welcome back to Terrace Talk. And of course, I'm joined here by the Castle Island Races Committee, Willie Reedy, Ted Kenny, and of course Charlie Farrelly. And of course, the event itself is on the 11th of June in Castle Island. But before we go there, I want to play a quick clip of a man who I suppose is a great supporter of horse and pony races. And I interviewed him back in Carsevine this time last year.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, delighted for Jack. He rode a lovely winner there for Maurice Ahern. And yeah, delighted for him. You know, it's amazing to see him doing it and see all the kids doing it. It's brilliant. It's such a, it's, you know, it's just, it's great for them. It's such good experience and it's real grassroots stuff.
Yeah, and of course, this is the grassroots. This is where it begins for everybody. Obviously, Rachel Blackmore, people will associate. She also won here as well in Carsevine, which is quite unique. Will speak to me about how important it is for the grassroots to get going at this level, because we all see the Cheltenhams and we see the jockeys at the higher end of the spectrum, but this really is where it begins for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely, very much so for the jockeys. It's experience you'll never get anywhere else, you know, and you can see the difference from the kids that come from pony racing on the track as soon as they go, you know, they get established so much quicker. But also, I don't know, you know, not only jockeys, but just when you see the crowds here and people able to get so close to it, and I think it's grassroots for even crowds and people getting interested in racing itself. So it's brilliant, and I think it should be embraced more and more, and you know, supported.
There you go. Of course, that's Henry de Bromhead. He was in Carsevine, and of course, celebrating the victory of his late son, unfortunately. Charlie, before we touch on that and maybe move a little bit forward, just to give people an idea of the insurance that you would have been paying, what kind of figures are we talking? Are we talking what, 6 grand, 4 grand, 10 grand, 2 grand? What's the insurance cost for running an event like this?
Well, I'll tell you, Donald, I have been a past chairman of the Southern Region, the Horse and Pony Racing. I was chairman there for 5 years. I'm now assistant PRO. So when I was up until 2018, I was chairman for the 5 years, I think, sorry, previous to that. And our insurance was €14,400. When I left in 2018, it was €14,400. It went up then in 19 to about 16,000. And then we had COVID. And would you believe it? We kept paying a small dividend to keep the insurance policy alive, and when the insurance policy lapsed on the 20th of June last year, the company simply wrote back to us and said we're going out of the business. So the Southern Region and the Irish Horse and Pony Racing, there was no racing last year until sometime in August, just before Dingle, and a new policy was got. The company is based out in Bulgaria, and it is €72,400. And that is divided up among all the meetings in the Southern Region, the Midlands, the Northwest, and Dingle. And so it's averaging, if all the meetings go ahead this year, it's averaging €1,250 per day. Now, a lot of people are off the wrong impression that, Donald, I was in Glen, in Rossby, I was there in Carsevine the day you'd done that interview, and the following Saturday. Little did we know what tragedy was going to become the Bromhead family on the 3rd of September, and everyone's getting the impression that because it was the tragic death of Jack, that the insurance has gone up. This insurance was gone up long before we had an accident. Mm-hmm. Ted has alluded earlier on about the skating at Christmas, the motorbike racing, that's gone now too. It is absolutely impossible. And Horse Racing Ireland last year gave 30,000 towards the insurance, so we had to raise 40,000, because without Without insurance, there will be no horse and pony racing. Without any horse and pony racing, there will be no future National Hunt racing. Because when you look at the likes of Paul Carberry, Davy Russell, Rachel Blackmore, started her racing career out in Causeway, Paul Townsend, Emmett McNamara, and Dylan Brown McGonigal, and our own Jack Kennedy, they're all produce, and that's only to name a few. So if our horse and pony racing goes, dies a debt, we will have no National Hunt racing within, I think, around 7 years.
Because it's a feeder sport for us, isn't it? I mean,
it's a feeder sport.
I mean, it's where you learn your apprentice. It's where you get, I suppose, clever and smart. And
it does. You can know, as Henry had said, and in that clip in Carazavine, you'll know the jockey that has a road. They do horse and pony racing in England, and it's on the race course, but it's up a straight line. Mm-hmm. Sure, anybody with a bit of balance will run a straight line. It's getting used to the bends and the tumbles and the turns and obviously there's going to be injuries, and it's a dangerous sport. As Tony Mackay said, it's the only sport you go to work at and be followed twice by two ambulances around for the whole day.
Yeah. So, well, you certainly need them, I suppose, in fairness, and I suppose in fairness to horse racing, it is very safety conscious and the whole lot. Can I go back to you, Willie, because we kind of, I suppose, brushed over Mortimer the Son and the whole lot. Mortimer came to the help really important about 15 years ago. Didn't look like he'd have a race, only for him.
Yeah, we had a meeting and Charlie said, "Do you know anyone?" I said, "I have a son in England. He might..." I said he would couple of old race horses himself. And I rang him that night from the meeting, and he said, "Okay, Dad, yeah, I'll just let me know what kind of money you'd want." And he said another thing. He said, "Have a few race horses, it'll be going back pony racing."
Now, he just for clarification, he didn't want him to win, he was just racing him.
So the following day I rang him, and he said, "I'll give 1,200 sterling," which was near enough €1,500 that time. Mm-hmm. So that's his main sponsor now with 12 years.
And you ring him ever since?
Begging since.
I never refused on it.
No refused, no.
Ted, I suppose, looking at that, I suppose that gives you the idea that somebody who's so far away from home, and I know it's not far away from home in the modern world, but still willing to support an event in Castle Island. I mean, that's a great sign of kind of a tradition. It's a great sign of a pride of place, and it's a great sign too of an individual who's not forgetting his area.
It is. I mean, it's individuals like Mortimer that's keeping the race going in Castle Island. I mean, €1,500 is quite a sizable sponsorship every year, and it's a pity we don't have more like him that's in England, and there's a lot more wealthy people in England that could be given a lot more than 1,500, but we can't seem to tap into them. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, the Castle Island races, the people of Castle Island town, the businesses, the actual people themselves who support the racing on the day, it's unbelievable. It's just mm-hmm. The community spirit in Castle Island has kept Castle Island races going, to be quite honest.
Jesus, makes me want to go back to Castle Island, Charlie.
I have the first race programme there. When we ran in, we got reenacted the race in 2000 and in 1999, we'd printed no programme done. We'd done none in 2000. So that's our first programme that we printed in 2001.
Wow.
And there are 26 pubs that contributed to it, and today we have 7 pubs.
Wow. Isn't that a real sign of the times? What was that, 2001?
2001, yeah.
God, a lot wiped out very quickly, wasn't it?
Yeah, 22 years. And we had 26 pubs that time, and there's 7 left now.
Yeah.
7 in the hotel, and they're still all, those 7 are still some of our major sponsors. Yeah,
come here, we've got 3 or 4 minutes left, Charlie. I mean, the race is one thing, but you kind of make a week of it, don't you, because you bring a bit of athletics and other sports in as well, don't you?
Well, last year we had a town festival. We had a festival, a street festival to go with it. We always have something. This year, we finished up last year by having the town festival and no races because we didn't get insurance in time. But this year we're having a couple of things. Next weekend, the June Bank Holiday weekend, we're starting off on this Friday evening coming. We're having the Humphrey Murphy Memorial 5K. Humphrey was a man, a Cork man from Bohaboy, came to live in Castle Island, himself and his wife Catherine, was a painting contractor and had an affinity with Glebe Lodge in Castle Island residential care. Went over, done all the painting for them, and ever since Humphrey, he died in a tragic accident, fell off a ladder, and ever since that we've run a 5K in his memory, and that money goes to Glebe Lodge every year. That would be his wish. It was his home from home. Glebe Lodge was his home from home, and they adored him over there. And then on next that's the next Friday night, and then Saturday we have a street collection. The street collection is for Glebe Lodge as well. And then on Saturday night we have the big dance in the River Island Hotel, which is in Knightholes, and we have a top class Irish rebel band there called Rebel Hearts. And there might be folk or rebel.
You're like the Rose of Tralee. Will you take the mic off him there? Willie, come here. Your own memories of the races. Surely you jumped over
a fence.
You've only got 2 minutes to go, so don't go back too far anyway.
56 sets, I was maybe, yeah.
How was it like?
Eh?
What was it like? Did you jump over the fence or did you walk through the gate?
Or did you pay?
I don't think I paid anyway.
Did you pay anyway?
I went to the nearest ditch. It's a,
and up and over it.
That time it was, you could have a big fight there as well. Oh, yeah, right. Big row,
and,
yeah.
And you could still have the same Sunday week as well.
My God, how much Kessler. Yeah.
But you're just an open field. Just
yeah. What was it like though? I mean, like going, seeing race horses, jumping and running and the whole lot. I mean, small filly peering over the ditch.
Oh, Jesus, beautiful, because all we'd be used to an old pony at home, like, you know, yeah. This one was
big horse,
well made, and
yeah. And we'll say the colours and the silks and yeah. The flags and the bookies and the whole lot. I mean, it was a great day.
Trick card, trick bin, and loop or something.
What loop the loops.
Loop the loops. And
yeah, and of course, like it's guess we'll be having good fun. But I mean, you're bringing back a lot of memories to a lot of people that will remember that and can recreate it in Dingle and can recreate it in Glimby and can recreate it in Carsevine and the whole lot. And I mean, that's the importance of the circuit as well, Charlie. I mean, it's not just a Castle Island only gig. You play your little part in that, but it moves on around as well.
Ah, yeah, it's a show that goes on. We're the first meeting now in the south this year since our tragedy in September last year. We're the first meeting in the south, and then the following week it moves on to Ballybunion, then it goes on to a Tay, and it's back. They're talking maybe about running one here in Tralee. Then you move back to Ballingarry, Limerick. It goes different places. But don't know, just before I finish up, I wanted to especially award for the two charities that were running the races for this year, and that is Glebe Lodge in Castle Island and Recovery Haven in Tralee. Mm-hmm. Two wonderful charities that some of our members unfortunately have had to avail of the services in Recovery Haven and Tralee over the years. It's a wonderful service there. We've done a street collection for them last year. I think we got €3,600, so they're part of our beneficiaries this year, and along with Glebe Lodge.
Fantastic. So Willie, clerk of the course, you'll be busy for the whole day, will you?
Very busy.
So you won't get to see any race?
No.
You'll be watching the video or something afterwards?
Watching with two eyes.
Well, listen, guys, the very best of luck to you. You're a fantastic crowd out there in Castle Island. The oldest one, 1859?
1859, Nolan, yeah.
Oh, my God, you went back to an awful lot of newspapers to find that anyway. You must have had money in 1859 that you could put an ad in the paper, though.
And you know, when you see the prize money in 1859 was £500.
Oh.
That was a lot of money.
You'll have to ring Mort Murrigan.
There was some other.
You won't like that.
Donald, once again, thanks so much, and thanks to Joe and all the lads here in Radio Kerry. They've always been very, very good to us, and they give the horse and pony racing extremely good coverage, and they give it real good mileage, and that's what makes the game so enjoyable.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, guys, thanks so much. Ted Kenny, fair play to you. Thanks very much, Willie. The very best of luck. Say hello to Mortimer and Charlie Farley. As always, it's a pleasure. Now, something unfortunate isn't a pleasure, of course, since I spoke to you last, of course, the death of Gene Moriarty, a good friend of mine out there in Fossa. Gene, of course, a real Fossa man. He lived for his area. I mean, but I heard a great story over the weekend that when he started in St. Brendan's College in 1964, actually, one of the first questions was he asked when he rambled in the gates, was he Crokes or was he Legion? He told him he was neither, and he wasn't too sure either, because he didn't feel like he should be one of them either, he told me a long time ago. And of course, he was one of the driving forces behind the formation of the Fossa GA Club in 1970. He was their first secretary in 1970 and 71. He was a chairman in 76 and again in the early 90s. And he was a real active member of the club as well until his untimely death there last week. And I want to send condolences to his wife Margaret and daughter Amy. Believe it or not, he was the very first man that texted me when I got the gig here in Terrace Talk, wishing me all the very best luck. And he says, keep it local, and that's what we're trying to do every night here. As I said, we send condolences to his wife, Margaret, and daughter, Amy, and we'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Oh, you might remember our brilliant feature that we had last year, our Women in Sport. Well, we're back with them again. And tonight we talk about Sarah Leahy, and in tonight's episode we travel to the Clarny Valley Arena and the grounds of St. Brendan's College, and we meet the Irish sprint sensation and former Kerry footballer, of course, Sarah Leahy, and she's one of the leading athletes in both Clarny Valley Athletics and Ireland. Have a listen to this.
This documentary was produced by Connie Broderick and Joe McGill. It was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
So if I get on the blocks and all I'm doing is thinking about the race and getting a good start, I know I should run well and have a good race.
In this episode of Women in Sport, we travel to Clarny Valley AC Arena on the grounds of St. Brendan's College to meet Irish sprint sensation and former Kerry footballer, Sarah Leahy.
My first sporting memory, my earliest, is probably football. My dad, Mike Leahy, was on the way to St. Brendan's to teach a Clarny Legion football team. And Mom was like, should bring Sarah with you? And I was like, yeah, I want to go. And I'll be honest, at the time, I thought it was just going to be me and him kicking a ball until I arrived up and it was a proper training session with a load of other kids. And I actually met my neighbours, Abby and Luke O'Donoghue, for the first time in this hall at St. Brendan's. So that was probably my first earliest football memory. My dad was big into football and hurling because his dad played for the Clare minors and seniors when he was younger. And then my mom comes from, the Brostons from Clarny, huge into football. And she grew up with three brothers, so they all played for Clarny Legion. And then half the family played for Croke, so there's a huge rivalry there. But just huge GAA, really. And then my earliest running memory was probably running in the back of Holy Cross Mercy School, competing to get to the Clarny primary school games or something, or the Kerry one. But my first athletics competition was community games. It was maybe under eights on the grass in Anrioct.
From an early age, Sarah showed promise as an athlete on both the track and football field.
I suppose from a young age, I kind of did the primary school sports and I kind of won it in my school, or the fastest in my class, and then went down to Clarny, to Kerry, and we realised I had a bit of a talent for athletics, so the speed side. I did try a bit of long distance, was not my thing, never was. And they signed me up to Clarny Valley, which used to be Spalmacras. My coach a lot was Jean Courtney, and she was absolutely fantastic. And she used to bring us to Castle Island all the time, and Breed Stackbow came in and she was doing the training with us. We used to train on Rio, which was half an hour away, and after school she'd pack some of us in the car, like her daughter Ruth Courtney and Elizabeth Stack. We should all go to Anrioch, do our training session, and then she'd drive us home, and this would be about three times a week, and we'd be out at Mokras doing hills. So the commitment from them to me at such a young age was very beneficial, and I really enjoyed the training. I always did, and the people I used to train with. And funnily enough, my mom actually printed out an email that I wrote to myself. I don't even know what the date was or year. It was years and years ago, and it was community games. And we had a really good relay. It was a mixed relay. So it was myself, Keen Gamble, David Shaw, and Christine Cooper. And it was about our third All-Ireland, I think, as a mixed relay, maybe second or third. And we were battling for the gold, and we actually came silver. But that was definitely a sports highlight for me. And I think we were like under 15, so I could have been 13, 14. So community games was always a very fun competition to go to, especially as a young athlete. That was definitely one of the highlights of my youth, was the community games. When you get older, it's, you can't compete anymore. It's a young event. When I grew up a bit older, I got a very good coach, and he was with Trilly Harriers, but he allowed me to train with them sometimes. It was Mike Godley. He brought me on another level. I kind of left the sport then because it just, football, as I said, kind of took over.
Long guys are pushing off the ball.
Clarny Legion was my club. I played obviously with my secondary school and primary school. So secondary school was St. Bridget's Clarny. And then I went to college and I played at University of Limerick, and I played with county for a good few years. When you grow up with football, it's the dream. You want to represent your county. It's a huge pride. For men and women, you're a young girl, you play on the jersey, and just, as they always say, it's just the pride of putting on the green and gold jersey and playing for your county. It was always a big deal. I made my debut with the Kerry seniors at 17, and I remember I was the only minor actually that started at the Munster final, and then we beat Cork, the senior team, So that, me personally, was probably one of the biggest ones, even though I know we won the under 16 All-Ireland final, which was huge. But the playing kind of the senior for my debut was a huge deal for me.
Having enjoyed success with her club and county, Sarah made the difficult decision to retire from football and concentrate on athletics.
So that was actually kind of a tough decision because I was still playing senior county football when I decided to go back to athletics. COVID kind of came in and I kind of realised, like, I was kind of training football on my own, practising, doing those long runs. And then I was actually on Instagram a lot and I saw all these girls that I used to run against in athletics, and they were always at a higher standard than I was, and all the trainings they were doing. And I kind of watched them and I was like, this is something I want to do. I want to be good at running like they are. So all those training sessions they used to put up on Instagram during COVID, I decided to do myself. And I was like, if they can do it, I'm going to try doing it. If I succeeded in the session, I felt fantastic. And I actually met my boyfriend Daniel. I discussed a lot with him because he kind of knew that I still loved the sport, but it just wasn't as, I wasn't as passionate about it anymore. And he heard the way I was talking about athletics and he said, you know, I think you should try athletics. And a year later, I was at the World Championship. So it was definitely the right move to make. If you have the passion first, the discipline, the dedication and the want to do something, you can definitely do it. All the time, my parents are just, they're always like, I know you can do it. And it just proves that the belief they put into me and the faith, and they believe what I can do more than what I believe sometimes. So that's really nice to have, that they don't doubt me, they don't doubt my performance. Just like I, you know, as an athlete, sometimes you don't go in thinking you're the best, you do doubt yourself. And then just to have them not do that and just fully back me is amazing. The support from my little comeback, they've been fantastic and really helped me get through things and work my way up as I have. I did spend the first about 9 months of college, third year of my college, those 9 months I trained by myself up in UL. So that was definitely difficult, but I really had the passion and the want to come back to the sport and make a good comeback. So I think that really drove me. And then when I came back, Tomás Griffin kind of became a coach at Clonmany Valley. The huge benefit of coming back was the track we have here. In St. Brendan's College, we have a lovely micro 200 metre track. And we were trying to build this for years, and thanks to all those people in the club that made it happen, and all the funding, and Jerry Griffin and all those people, this has been a huge benefit and one of the reasons coming back to the sport was so easy. The facilities, the coaches, and then once I started in UL, I really enjoyed the training group and the people I was training with. So even on those hard days, you might come in, you're tired, you might come in moody, or just you don't feel great or very fast, training with those type of people really push you on, and it makes you enjoy every second of the training, even no matter how hard it is. So there's different kind of track sessions. We don't just go out and do run the whole time. It's like there can be a tempo session one day, then there's a technical, which could be working on your block starts, your driving phase. So could be like a rope type situation where somebody's pulling you back while you're driving out. There's also kind of plyometrics, which is kind of increasing your, I suppose, bounciness in basic terms, to make you more elastic and bouncy so you're not really flat while you run. And then there's sprint sessions where it's all short. It could range from 30 meter sprints to 90. They're the quick sessions, whereas the tempo would be from 100 to 250s. And then there's more, another technical session. Then there's hills, which increases your strength and your driving phase, which is the first about 30 meters of your race. And then there's gym work and strength and conditioning. So it's about six days a week you'd be training, and then you'd have a rest day obviously to recover so you can go again.
Naturally quick, Sarah's power sees her compete in the 60, 100 and 200 metres.
I love the 60, but as I said, it's very unforgiving. You'd have to get that nail, that start, that driving phase. And then the 200, I love the 200 when I'm fit enough to do it. If I'm not, I die, and it's a terrible feeling, but it's good all the same because, you know, you put your body to it. But I am probably the best in the 100. For my standard, the 100 is probably the best I compete in. So, and I do really enjoy it. The indoors, it's shorter. So I do the 60 metres, but there's also an indoor 200. And then the outdoor is the 100 and the 200 metres also. But the difference between the indoors was with the 60, it's obviously shorter than 100. It's literally, it goes by so quickly, which I do really enjoy the 60. I do usually have a very good start. and that benefits me a lot because I'm short, I have a quick turnover and my stairs are explosive. So if I get out quickly, there's less time for the people behind me to catch up and pass me out. Indoor 200, I actually did quite well this year. Usually, if you do well in the indoors, you usually run even faster in the outdoor, especially with the 200. I actually didn't. My indoor was faster than my outdoor 200, but I'm looking forward to running the indoors again. It's just a different atmosphere. You're indoors, there's no wind, rain and all this, so it is quite nice, especially in Ireland. You don't have to run out in terrible weather. And then the outdoors, it's the 100 metres, which is kind of the, I suppose it's a iconic race, you know, the big performers like Usain Bolt, everybody knows who he is, he runs the 1 and 2. And yeah, I do really enjoy the short races and I do enjoy the 200, but I am better at the 60 and the 100.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're very welcome back. A note from Ishke Éireann and Kerry County Council, of course, coming in here for Glimbe. There will be overnight restrictions on the water supply to Glimbe and surrounding areas from the 29th of May until Wednesday the 31st of May. And now an alternative water supply will be provided in the car park of Glimbe J Pitch from 8 a.m. on May the 30th. And customers are reminded to use their own containers when taking water from the tanker to boil water before consumption as precautionary measure. Now boil water by bringing up vigorous scrolling boil and to allow cool. Now Ishke Éireann and Kerry County Council are working together to resolve this issue and appreciate your patience. Now back to part two of Sarah Leahy.
Former Kerry footballer and sprint sensation Sarah Leahy's background in team sports lends itself well when she competes in the relay.
I think for me personally, I do think a huge benefit from my background of coming from team sports like football and basketball, that I really enjoy a team perspective. And I think I can switch quite quickly because obviously I run against these girls and we're rivals. But if I'm friendly with them and if they beat me, you know, it's a fair play to them. They worked harder than me or they're just faster than me on the day. So I think I can switch quite easily. And I do really just, I think when you're on a team relay, it's not about you. It's about your team, your other teammates, and usually you're representing your club or your county or your country, which I was lucky enough to do. So I don't really have that mindset of like, I need to run fast, I need to beat my teammates, because you're all in it together. And then running on my own, obviously you're there to win the race and run the fastest you can be. I do love beating my own time. So if I run a race and I come last, but I got a PB, I'd be delighted. But if there's a race that I won it and I don't get the PB, I'd be a bit annoyed, because I know I can keep running faster than when I'm running. So I don't find that switch too difficult, because I do really, really enjoy team events and sports. I always did.
And away again, the first time, and going really strong there is Sarah Leahy. Leahy and Doherty.
Since her return to the sport, Sarah has medalled consistently at college and senior level, including an incredible double sprint performance at the Athletic Association of Ireland Indoor Games, where she won gold in the 60 and 200 metres. Her consistency didn't go unnoticed, and Sarah was selected to represent Ireland at international level.
Second place, but a commanding run from lane 5, Sarah Leahy. That was a superb run, wasn't it?
Kate was chasing her down there with that.
I went in, I used to always love the indoors when I was younger, and I actually did much better than I suppose anybody would have thought, because nobody really knew my name. They didn't know who Sarah Leahy was. And then by the end of the indoors, they were kind of like, you know, Sarah Leahy, who is this girl? I did well in the 60 in college and the 200 indoors. So at like all Ireland's and the colleges, I got silver and bronze medals and a gold at the relay, college relay. And then the outdoors, got a new PB straight away in the college, got the double gold in the 1 and 2 outdoors and went on to the all Ireland's, did well in the 2. And then to be selected for the relay all through the summer, and I got to travel around Europe. It was absolutely fantastic.
Athletics now, Kerry Sarah Leahy tonight competes at the World Championships. The Killarney Valley athlete's been chosen as part of the Irish 4x100 metres relay team for the opening heat at 1:40 a.m. Irish time in Oregon. Leahy will run the anchor leg after Joan Healy, Yumi Talabi and Lauren Roy.
So my first international experience or call-up was in the under-23s Europeans 2021 in Estonia. I went over with the relay. As I said, I was very new to the sport. People only knew me about a month because my name hadn't been there for years. And I went over and I was so excited. I was so honoured to even be asked. And I actually didn't end up running over there. So I got asked again, I got put on the senior relay and the development squad and all these trainings, and I got to go up to Greece, Switzerland, Sweden. I ran in all the races, and then I was picked for the World Championships, and I actually got to run over there. I ran the anchor leg, so I ran last. It was absolutely fantastic.
Finally, athletics, Kerry Sarah Leahy and her Irish teammates were eighth in their heat of the 4x100 metres relay at the World Championships. More sport at midday.
My first stadium I ever walked into was Stockholm in Sweden. It was the Diamond League. And I was talking to my fellow relay teammates, and I was like, I've never been in a stadium before. And I was really excited about it. And they kind of were in disbelief because they've kind of grew up with athletics and forgot what that feeling was it to enter such a big stadium. And it was just an amazing experience. And to represent your country is, it's like the pride of it, just like with the football, you represent your county, but then this is representing all 32 counties at once. So it's just, it's not indescribable because a lot of people have experienced it, but it's just amazing. So to come that far in a year and a half, I'm in disbelief. I'm very, very lucky that the training I put in, my coaches helped me in UL and Tomás Griffin and Killarney Valley. Killarney Valley Club backing me the whole way. So I've clearly been enjoying this a lot, and I've been excelling well, and I hope to continue that. And I hope to kind of keep catching those girls. Some of them that I've been spoke about that, like, I used to watch them during COVID, I've actually beaten some of those girls now, which is crazy because they were the girls I looked up to during COVID that brought me back into the sport. I want to work towards keep going at a high level to be with the top of the top in Ireland.
Sarah's love of athletics stems from her youth. However, she believes athletics can be for anyone at any age.
I suppose, like all sports, when you succeed in it and when all that training comes together and you do well, that feeling is just amazing. Because you knew that all those hard work and all the times that people supported you, it wasn't for nothing. And I suppose athletics on its own, I do really enjoy the training. And as I said, a lot of that is towards the people I train with and the coaches. And I suppose another thing, just with, I suppose with most individual sports, you get out what you put in. If you train and put the passion and the motivation and discipline in, you will get out exactly what you deserve and exactly what you want. So I think that's just nice to know, especially in athletics, and just the feeling of being able to run fast and cross that line in a good time and these new PVs. I just love the feeling. It is just amazing. And then the friends you make along the way, it is fantastic. I'd recommend anybody to try athletics if they can, because there's load disciplines. If you're a kind of a very strongly built man or woman, there's the shot put, the javelin. If you're quick, there's the sprints. If you have a lot of endurance, there's the long distance, there's the walk. There's David Kenny in Kerry, who's excellent at that. He went to the Olympics. There's the long jump, triple jump, high jump, if you're tall, if you're short. There's actually just so much different disciplines in athletics. There's no reason why one wouldn't fit you and why you shouldn't give it a go. There's just so many. I'd highly recommend any of these sports. And even just as a pastime, if you play football, soccer, having that speed or endurance is going to help you in those sports, just as it has for me. I was fast and helped me with football. I wasn't the most skillful, but that was a base that really helped me in those other sports. So I definitely think I'd recommend any of them. Get out there, join athletics. There's a great Killarney Valley Club here. It's fantastic. If I can love it, I'm sure a lot of other people will love it as well.
Following a whirlwind return to athletics, what are Sarah's hopes for the future?
I'm learning a lot. Even over in the Worlds, I was with Joan Healy, and she's obviously a very seasoned athlete. She's very knowledgeable, knows what to do, what she wants, what she has to do, what's right and wrong. Whereas I'm very new. I don't know things. I follow what other people do, or if somebody tells me to do something, I will do it. So one of the things I learned was, like kind of Molly Scott and Joan Healy, we're kind of short athletes and we're very powerful. We don't kind of run very tall. We don't look tall when we're running. We're just very powerful. So I was doing a lot of gym work and it really benefited me. I got my PB. I got my closest time to that then, and I couldn't understand why I was supposed to be getting faster and I just wasn't fully. I was kind of just being consistent. And the reason for that was I was supposed to continue gymming to keep up my strength, as I am a powerful runner, and I didn't fully do that. I wasn't fully aware. So that's something I've definitely learned. So definitely the goals for the next 12 months, that my indoor season, I will run even faster than I have a year ago. And then coming to the outdoors, I would just love to keep making that senior Irish relay and improve my outdoor time. So I hope to move up a level again and be even closer to those top athletes in the country.
Sarah has continued her fine form in 2023, winning the 60-metre sprint at the Irish Indoor Championships in Dublin in February, running a new personal best of 7.30 seconds. This time sees her move to fourth on the all-time indoor list. More recently, Sarah took gold in the 100 metres at the Irish University Athletics Association Annual Track and Field Championships in April, and was also named as Female University Athlete of the Year.
So there you go, that's tonight's show. What a great way to finish as well with Sarah Leahy. Great show all night long, of course. Thanks to Ivan and Keen for all the work this evening. Dan Carney as well for the chat and the Lays Munster final. Great to catch up with the crew as well from the Castle Island races, and the best of luck to them next weekend as well. And indeed, the Kerry team taking on Cork next weekend. What a battle that should be, and we'll have a proper full Terrace Talk on that. Up next, Mary with Toke Sus. We could all do with one. Talk to you next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.